Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, my south of 12th Hour, Little York, Texas. Today is June 22, 2016, or it is the 18th day of the 4th month, 2020, when we start our first service today of the song entitled, Under His Wings. Under His wings, I'm safely abiding. Though the night deepens and tempests are wild, still I can trust Him, I know He will keep me. He has redeemed me and I am His child. Under His wings, under His wings, who from His love can suffer? Under His wings, my soul shall abide, safely abide forever. Under His wings, what a refuge in sorrow, rather how yearningly turns to His rest. Often when earth has no balm for my healing, there I find comfort and there I am blessed. Under His wings, under His wings, here from His love can sever. Under His wings, my soul shall abide, safely abide forever. Under His wings, oh, the precious enjoyment, there the light till our trials are whole. Sheltered, protected, no evil can harm me. Resting in Yeshua, I'm safe evermore. Under His wings, under His wings, who from His love can suffer? Under His wings, my soul shall abide, safely abide forever.
One News Forecast, Track 14, by the P.T. Hollis. We're going to start with page 1. We've been through this before, but we've got new life. We feel that we've got something more to learn here now than what we've learned before. We'll just start right on in to the very front page. It says that everyone who thirsts for the truth may obtain it. This tract is mailed free of charge. It levies one exaction, the soul's obligation to itself to prove all things and hold fast that which is good. The only strings attached to this free proffer are the golden strands of Eden and the crimson cords of Calvary, the ties that bind. Okay, a War News Forecast, Digest of Nahum's Prediction. When the chariots rage in the streets, when they jostle one another again in the broadways, when they speed like lightning and glare like torches, in that day shall one who dashed in pieces prepare himself and come up before your face, O King of Assyria. Now pay attention to this, King of Assyria. We have a King of Assyria out in the world. We have a King of Assyria in the Church of Israel, which would be the Seventh-day Adventist Church proper, the spiritual Israel of today. And that Assyria, as we have identified before, that King of Assyria in the church would be the General Conference President Now you have the angel of the candlestick, which is the prophet for this for the Adventist, and that's one thing. But the president is another thing. Just like King Saul, he was king, first king of Israel. But Samuel was his prophet. Now, Samuel had the authority over King Saul and Israel spiritually and physically. But we know what happened there, with that relationship. King Saul was ordered to go and destroy all the Amalekites because of what they had done to Israel coming out of Egypt. And so King Saul was ordered to go and don't leave nothing left breathing, man, woman, or child, King Agag, and all their cattle and everything. Don't leave not one thing left breathing. Yahweh had passed judgment upon them, and that was his judgment call. And he expected his leader here on earth, of Israel, to go and execute the judgment that Yahweh had commanded to be done. And we know what happened. King Saul didn't complete the job. He saved the king Agag himself, and he saved a lot of cattle, and he blamed it on the people. And Samuel come along, and Samuel had to finish the job. He slew that king himself, the prophet, slew the king Agag himself, the one that king of Israel, King Saul, saved against Yahweh's command. So the prophet is the one that's in charge of executing the final judgment on the church. All right. So now keep that in mind. He shall make you empty. Well, who is this? Like he says, prepare himself and come up before your face, O king of Assyria. He shall make you empty, void and waste. And in this case, we have the king of Assyria, which is Obama and Kanye today for the world. We have the president of the General Council of Seventh-day Adventists, which is the king of a spiritual Assyria. Okay? And then we have the prophet Elijah David that has the final say on all of it. For Yahweh gives him a command, he's got to be ready to execute that command himself. If those that are in charge of the kingdom of Assyria don't execute the commands justly, then he has a prophet that will execute his final command. All right, your heart shall melt. Your knees shall smite together. There shall be much pain in your loins, and the faces of all shall gather blackness. Woe to your bloody city that is like Nineveh of old. It says, for it is full of lies and of robbery. Their prey departs not. The noise of the whip and the noise of the rattling of the wheels of the prancing horses and of the jumping chariots are in its midst. Behold, upon the mountains, the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publishes peace, and that says, O Judah, keep your solemn feast, perform your vows, for the wicked shall no more pass through you. He is utterly cut off. For now will Yahweh break the Assyrian yoke from off your neck, burst your bonds in sunder, and set you free. Okay, it says, Yahweh is slow to anger and great in power. His way is in the whirlwind and in the storm. The clouds are the dust of his feet. He is jealous and will take vengeance on his adversaries. He is also a stronghold in the day of trouble. and knows them that trust in him, that he will make an utter end of the wicked. Darkness shall pursue his enemies. Affliction shall not rise up a second time. Nahum beholds two great powers in conflict, projected unto a day when everything on wheels moves like lightning. Then, by way of the sharp contrast, he focuses attention on one who walks openly on the mountains, not obscurely in the valleys, and who publishes peace rather than war. He urges Judah to be faithful in order to effect that peace, assuring her that the wicked will no longer be in her midst, and that she will be set free from the Assyrian yoke. Now, the Assyrian yoke then is applied by the 10-tribe kingdom of the north, and that is Jeroboam's kingdom in the type. When he separated from the 2-tribe kingdom of Judah and Benjamin in the south, and took his 10 tribes and went north and set up 2 golden calves. So he was the king of Assyria in the north. He was the king of the 10 tribes. And Assyria had her headquarters in the north. And she went into captivity to Assyria, the literal land of Assyria. She went into captivity with them and amalgamated among them. And so there you have it. And that's where they're still at today. The 10 tribes are still right there today. At the same time, it says, behold Elohim's great power, his jealousy over his people and his vengeance on their enemies. While envisioning the might of these two belligerent powers, Nahum at the same time envisions the liberation of the church from the Assyrian yoke, recorded in chapters 1, verses 12 and 15, and in chapter 2, verses 2, and also the vengeance of Elohim recorded in chapter 1, verses 1 and 9. To facilitate the reader's comprehension of these three all-inclusive aspects of this format, this tract deals separately with each. Now then, who specifically are the actors in this dramatized forecast, especially who under the present or future setup of nation could these two belligerents possibly be, and have they yet come to grips? If not, when are they destined to do so? If we desire to know for certainty the answer to these inevitable questions, we shall find them in the outline for analysis. Okay, let's do that again. The outline for analysis. Two powers are seen rising in their might against each other. Indeed, the all-consuming concern of Nahum's entire book, but 3 short chapters in all, centers in the preparation for this conflict, the conflict itself, and the titles of the powers involved. The first clue to this solution is that the war preparations take place when the chariots with the flaming torches rage in the streets, jostle one against another in the broadways, and run like the lightnings, Nahum 2, 3, and 4. It is self-evident that these preparations are made when the thoroughfares of the cities and countryside are congested with vehicular traffic. The second clue is that the conflict itself takes place when mechanized power is developed to such a degree that vehicles are driven at a speed which seems lightning light. The war itself, consequently, is to be fought by mechanized armies. The third clue is that the one power, being called Assyria, has a hereditary title, which reveals that it is the modern counterpart of the once widespread empire of the ancient Assyria, even as modern Babylon, Revelation 17, verse 5, is the modern counterpart of ancient Babylon. And as spiritual Egypt, Revelation 11, verse 8, is the modern counterpart of ancient Egypt. See the Great Controversy, 269 and 270. All of these counterparts, then, are but another spiritual intimation and confirmation of the age-old truth that history repeats itself and on a much broader scale than in the original. All right, let's read that again. The third clue is that the one power, being called Assyria, has a hereditary title, which reveals that it is a modern counterpart of the once widespread empire of ancient Assyria. Even as modern Babylon, in Revelation 17, verse 5, is a modern counterpart of ancient Babylon. And as spiritual Egypt of Revelation 2, verse 8, is the modern counterpart of ancient Egypt. All of these counterparts, then, are but another scriptural intimation and confirmation of the age-old truth that history repeats itself and on a much broader scale than in the original. So it looked like the two belligerent powers were really zeroing in on right now. It looks like it's the power between Assyria and Babylon. Now, this is what we got going on here. And lo and behold, Obama represents the Assyrian king. I said before the king of Babylon, but we're going to have to reassess this. Babylon, Assyria laid the foundation for Babylon. But we got a woman coming up, Hillary Clinton, and she's in prophecy, and she's representing this here mystery Babylon, this woman that sits on the beast. Now Obama, he represents the Assyrian that is the beast. And you got the woman, mystery Babylon, that rides this beast. So this may very well be your two belligerent powers that are forming today, that are coming head to head. Because Assyria, the beast, wants to rule the world, and mystery Babylon wants to rule the world. And so mystery Babylon comes up and takes charge of the beast, which is Assyria. Okay? We are standing on the threshold of the great and solemn event. Many of the prophecies are about to be fulfilled in quick succession. Every element of power is about to be set to work. Past history will be repeated. Old controversies will arouse to new life, and peril will beset Elohim people on every side. Intensity is taking hold of the human family. It is permeating everything upon the earth. Testimonies to Ministers 1:16. For the clincher is that the other power, he that dashes in pieces, has an acquired title earned by virtue of his exploits. Manifestly, therefore, it designates a nation that is headed by a ruler of no royal line. Okay, now look at this. Obama is a ruler and he has no royal line. George Bush, that went before him, comes from a royal line, or at least they claim they do. Okay. And you'll find that Hillary Clinton, that represents Mystery Babylon, she comes from she claims a royal line. But this Obama, he doesn't come from a royal line. Okay. But of an anomalous character and unprecedented might, whose military genius scatters and destroys all who dare oppose him. Okay. So what has Obama done? He come in and took over our military. Now keep in mind that the President of the United States, he's first and foremost the Commander-in-Chief of all the armed forces. That's his number one notoriety. So, He sets up his own uniform code of military justice, and it's contrary to the Constitution of the United States. So, keep in mind that this manifesto, therefore, it designates a nation that is headed by a ruler. This a nation is the United States, and this a ruler is Obama, of no royal line, but of an anomalous character and unprecedented might, whose military genius, because he's the commander-in-chief now of the armed forces, he loves it, because he can scatters and destroys all who dare oppose him. Now, if anybody opposes him, anything he wants to do, he knows how to scatter them. So, they opposed him in the Middle East whenever he took over the presidency in 2009. All the Muslim nations opposed him in the Middle East. And so what did he do? He used his military genius to scatter them. And now he not only scattered their power, but he scattered their residents as well. Drove them into the European nations around them. Drove them out of their own borders. Millions of them. And he downsized our military leaders and fired thousands of our military leaders and brought them home and brought our army and equipment out of there and left them to fight over the spoils there in Europe. And then what happened? They are beheading and killing each other and they're collecting the spoils that this character, this ruler of a nation that had the power with a genius, being a genius military guy. And it just so happened that all those spoils that those Muslim nations are reaping today from the United States, it was given to them by their undercover leader, Obama. And he's a Muslim, just like them. So he was in a position where he had the power to give them the weapons and spoils of war and to give them money and to set up a Muslim Brotherhood. Okay, so now he has the power to scatter and to destroy all who dare oppose him. Regardless of whether this four-way key discloses these two camps to be the Axis and the United Nations, today one only safety from being caught and ruined sooner or later in this predicted struggle is to follow strictly the path which the Yahweh has prophetically mapped out. Indeed, the prophecies are given for no other reason than to illumine the traveler's steps to safety. Through knowledge shall the just be delivered. Proverbs 11:9. Now, with key in hand, we shall be able to unlock the mystery, beginning with the belligerent's struggle. Okay, who are your belligerents? The king of Assyria that has no royal line, that he's a descendant of. And the other belligerent struggle is Mystery Babylon coming up. And apparently Mystery Babylon wins the battle because she takes over the beast. And the beast represents Assyria. Okay. It says, Nahum chapter 1, the belligerent struggle, verse 10-11. For while they be folded together as thorns, united with others to protect themselves, and while they are drunken as drunkards, filled with fury, they shall be devoured as stubble fully dry. Now notice it says they. It's a pronoun for plural, two or more. It's represented by the pronoun they. So these two belligerent struggles, that's the reason why Daniel says they come to their end and none to help them. These the king of the north, king of the south. Now keep that in mind. They shall be devoured as stubble fully dry, as when fire sweeps through it. There is one come out of thee, out of a nation, characterized by ancient Assyria, that imagines evil against the Yahweh. Now this is your key right here. Well, Obama, as soon as he took office, he couldn't wait to find the opportunity to blaspheme Yahweh. And he took the King James Bible. Yahweh is only authoritative word. And he read several verses from it, and he blasphemed the Yahweh of heaven. And he blasphemed Moses and the law of Moses and so forth. So, so he imagines evil against Yahweh, a wicked counselor. So Obama is a wicked counselor. In the light of these passages, it becomes clear from the outset that though Assyria is armed and allied with other strong nations, folding together as thorns, yet neither her armament nor her alliance will save her. For having become drunken as a drunkard and having received wicked counsel of one that has come out of her. Okay, now who is this one that came out of her? The Vice President of the United States, Joe Biden. He's the one that gives counsel to this wicked King of Assyria, Obama, every day. And he gets his information to give Obama. He gets it from the Pope. And the Pope is a Jesuit. Okay? The Order of the Jesuits, that's where he gets his information, Joe Biden. So Joe Biden's one of them. So it says, for having become drunken as a drunkard, see, and having received wicked counsel of one that has come out of her, okay, she shall be devoured as stubble fully dry. So it looked like that old Joe Biden gave Obama the wrong and wicked counsel that got him destroyed. Thus saith the Yahweh, though they be quiet and likewise many, yet thus shall they be cut down when he that dashed in pieces shall pass through. Verse 12, first part. Okay, chapter 2, verse 1. He that dashed in pieces is come up before thy face. Keep the munition. This is chapter 2 of Nahum. Keep the munitions, watch the way, make thy loins strong, fortify thy power mightily. Coming face to face with the might of him that dashes in pieces, Assyria is driven furiously to fortify herself. What did Obama say when he was running for president the first time in 2008? He said he's going to raise up a civilian army of local citizens that's going to be greater than the army that we have in uniform today. And so what does he do? He downsizes our army that we have in uniform, and he is fast arming the enemy, the citizens of this land. I'm talking about the criminals, not the citizens, but the criminals that are in these gang members and so forth. He's arming them. While you can go to New York City on the streets of New York City, and every one of those gang members, then there's hundreds of thousands of them. And they all have an automatic 9mm pistol. One or two or three. And you ask them, well, where do you get your pistol? I said, well, anybody can buy one right off the streets in New York. All you have to do is go down and tell somebody, hey, I've got $300 and I want to buy a semi-automatic 9mm pistol. And boy, within a few minutes, he's got delivery. You go behind a building, somebody will show up and hand you a gun, and you hand him $300, and you've got yourself a gun. That's how he's arming all of these here criminals on the streets in the cities of the United States. Okay. And though in addition to her fortification, her allied strength numerically is greater than the outlaw strength of him that dashes in pieces. Let's come at, let's read that again now. This Nahum chapter 2, verse 1. He that dashes in pieces is come up before thy face. Keep the munition, watch the way, make thy loins strong, fortify thy power mightily. Coming face to face with the might of him that dashes in pieces, Assyria is driven furiously to fortify herself. And though in addition to her fortifications, her allied strength, that's those other nations that are folding together with her, that are allied with her, numerically is greater than the allied strength of him that dashes in pieces. If indeed he be allied at all, yet even his very title indicates that against his might, all the Assyrian strongholds shall be like fig trees with the first ripe figs. If they be shaken, they shall even fall into the mouth of the eater, Nahum 3:12. So what has Obama done? He set up the Muslim Brotherhood all around the world of these Muslims. Of all the Muslim nations, he's gotten the criminals, those that are lawless, of those nations, and he's formed them into an army, and he's armed them, and he supplied them with the money that he stole from Gaddafi in Libya. He set up the oil cartel there in northern Africa, in Libya, to supply the ISIS Foundation with money so that they can pay their terrorists in all nations worldwide to carry out their clandestine operations. Okay. But it says, it calls them strongholds here. It says, his might, all the Assyrian strongholds shall be like fig trees with the first ripe fig. If they be shaken, all you gotta do is just shake these strongholds. Well, there was a story come out here in, this last year. They're in Syria, where Russia came in there and supplied some help and rousting out those ISIS, Islamic State terrorist people. And they come in there and they said just as soon as Russia bombed a town there where this ISIS had come in and taken over, said just as soon as the first bomb hit, instead of them defending themselves, they got up and threw their weapons down and started running down the streets in every trail that they could find to get out of there. They threw their weapons down just as soon as they got any resistance at all from anybody. Boy, they were shook up. The first bomb lit pretty close by and they said, oh my goodness, we're under attack. And they threw down their weapons and they got out of there. And then the enemy come in and chased them down and killed them and slaughtered them as they were running away. That's your Islamic State. That's your bad terrorist. When you catch up with them, find where they're holed up at and throw a little fire at them, boy, I mean, tell you, they run like rabbits. So it says right here, strongholds shall be like fig trees with the first ripe figs. If they be shaken, they shall even fall into the mouth of the eater. So, boy, that group of terrorists, those Syrians right there, I mean, the Islamic State people, those Muslim Brotherhood that was terrorizing the citizens of Syria, as soon as they got caught up with, you shook them a little bit, and boy, I mean, they fell into the mouth of the eater. And they did eat him up. Okay, verse 3. The shield of his mighty men is made red. The valiant men are in scarlet. The chariots shall be with the flaming torches in the day of his preparation. And the fir trees shall be terribly shaken. Fir trees means the leaders. It means the leaders shall be terribly shaken. Very evident it is that this aggressor power, who dashes in pieces, girds himself for war, and today when the church has such blazing lights, powerful electric headlights that they resemble flaming torches, in the day of this phenomenon, the fir trees, the leaders, the great rulers of the earth, that's what it says, parentheses, the great rulers of the earth, the fir trees, trees or represents, Ezekiel 31, 1 to 14, shall be terribly shaken. Okay, so now these rulers of the earth, of all these nations, are going to be terribly shaken. Well, tell me right now what's going on in Europe. Just tell me. They are shaken to their foundation. You got the British, UK, is voting to pull out of the Euro Union. And they say that when they do this, it's going to be half of their economy is going to go. And they said it's going to be the downfall of the Euro Union. Because you pull out the backbone to the Union, and then the rest of the Union, which is there's 31 European nations that are members of this Euro Union. Okay, so you pull out one that breaks the back of them, and then the rest of them, they start defecting like rats off a ship. And what all the Euro nations have done, they have got the Muslim Brotherhood, this Islamic State, they call it Islamic State in place of the Muslim Brotherhood now. But they don't like to call it Islamic State, these immigrants that have migrated to all these European nations now. They don't want to call them terrorists or radical Islamists or ISIS. They just want to call them a peaceful people that are looking for peace, or just immigrants. Peaceful immigrants is what they want to call them. And all they have is this infiltration of the Muslim Brotherhood that's there for one reason, and that is to take over their country and to cut off the heads of anybody that resists them. Okay. Verse 4. The church shall rage in the streets. They shall jostle one against another in the broadway. They shall seem like torches. They shall run like the lightning. Again, there is no escaping the conclusion that these two powers plunge into war with each other at a time when everything vehicular is geared to unprecedented speed, and that their feverish preparation for combat must therefore include an intensified implementing of their fighting forces with the fast-moving chariots. Daniel also was told that in the time of the end, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Daniel 12:4. Since the sitting for this deadly clash is in a day of the advanced mechanization, it could not have been World War I, because the preparation for that conflagration was in the process when the machine age was but in its infancy. Even when the war was on, the chariots were too few, too feeble, and too slow to jostle one against another in the manner envisioned. To fulfill the prediction, these two powers must prepare when the chariots are many and mighty and fast as they are today. This is not to say that the former world war is excluded from prophecy, but simply that an entirely different scriptural background is given for it. For the Savior himself predicted with terrible exactness that fearful conflict climaxing 19 centuries of wars and rumors of wars, when he declared, "Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows," Matthew 24:7-8. Indeed, then, 1914 to 1918, for the first time since the dawn of history, the nations and the kingdoms rose against each other. Famine stalked the war-ravaged countries. the death's head of pestilence followed after an earthquake in quick succession flung abroad their devastation to heap higher the woes of mankind. All these calamities led up to World War II, the most terrible one of all time. Truly, indeed, the sorrows of World War I did signalize only the beginning of sorrows. Okay, verses 5 to 8. He shall recount his worthies. They shall stumble in their walk. That is, though he exalts in them, they too nevertheless shall fall. They shall make haste to the wall, parentheses, fortress. In other words, they're going to make haste to get back inside the fort where they got protection. Thereof, they're going to go back, haste to the wall, the fortress thereof, and the defense, parentheses, by Assyria shall be prepared. The gates of the rivers, nevertheless, shall be open, and the Assyrian palace shall be dissolved, and Huzab of Assyria shall be led away captive. So, Belshazzar, the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar's son that succeeded Nebuchadnezzar, back there, according to this right here, was the king of Assyria as well. In other words, Babylon was in the north in Assyrian territory, for one thing. Okay. And Huzab of Assyria shall be led away captive. She shall be brought up and her maids, nations under her rule, shall lead her as with the voice of doves tabering upon their breast. But Nineveh, the capital city of Assyria, is of old like a pool of water. Well, what's the capital city of Assyria today? Washington, D.C. Also the capital city of Babylon. That's where Mr. Babylon, Hillary Clinton, is headed to take her seat upon that beast at Washington, D.C. So you have the king of Assyria today, Obama, and the future ruler that's vying for that seat there at Washington, D.C., and that's this woman. That says, it says in Revelation, I sit as a queen and I am no widow. But who's her husband? Satan. Lucifer. That's who her God and her husband is. So she's believes that she's married to the God of this world and the God of heaven. She's exalted Lucifer as her husband. I'm not no widow. Okay. And she has a literal physical husband as well, Bill Clinton. Mm-hmm. Yet they, her citizens, shall flee away. Stand, shall they cry, but none shall look back. Unlike flowing or undulating waters, water in a pool stands still. But in this instance, the water's people in the capital city of the present day Assyria, okay, so that would be Washington, D.C., which is 10 square miles around. So the people, these are the undulating waters, undulating waters. Water in a pool stands still, but in this instance, the water's people in the capital city of this present-day Assyrian contrary to all expectations and their fighting tradition, flee away. So it looks like all of Obama's army that he's got collected around him there in Washington, D.C., flees away. And even when they hear the command to stand, they shall be so anxious to get out of the way of him that dashes in pieces, that they shall not dare look back. So who is this one that dashes in pieces? Let's look out. We established that earlier as the king of Assyria. Let's see if that holds up. Hence to him that dashes in pieces, the command is, take ye the spoil of the silver, take the spoil of gold, for there is none, end of the store and glory out of all the pleasant furniture. Nahum 2:9. Subsequent to giving this command to despoil Assyria. Okay, so now we're not talking about the king of Assyria here. That says, hence to him that dashes in pieces, the command is. Okay. So this is that other belligerent power, Babylon. Okay, that's challenging Assyria. Take ye the spoil of the silver, take the spoil of gold, for there is none end of the store and glory out of all the present furniture. Nahum 2:9. Subsequent to giving this command to despoil Assyria, the Yahweh turns to the bloody city and pronounces upon her the resulting doom. So who's the bloody city? Babylon. Revelation 18, the last verse. Okay, I believe. Okay, now it says verses 10 to 13. She is empty and void and waste. And the heart melteth, and the knees smite together, and much pain is in all loins. And the faces of them all gather blackness. Okay, where is the dwelling of the lions? Parentheses, the king's palaces. Where is their dwelling? And the feeding place of the young lions. Parentheses, the dominion of his princes. Where the lion even... the old lion, the head king, walked, and the lions whelped the king's son, and none made them afraid. The Yahweh did tear in pieces enough for his whelps and strangle for the lioness. Mm-hmm. It says queens, in parentheses, queen. Now here's your first mention of a queen here. And she's represented by a lioness. The lion represents the king. Okay. And filled his holes with prey and his dens, treasures, with raven riches. Behold, I am against thee, saith Yahshua of hosts, and I will burn her chariots in the smoke, and the sword shall devour thy young lions, and I will cut off thy prey from the earth. And the voice of thy messenger shall no more be heard. Chapter 3, verses 1 and 19. Woe unto the bloody city. It is all full of lies and robbery. The prey departeth not. The noise of a whip, and the noise of the rattling of the wheels, and of the prancing horses, and of the jumping chariot. The horseman lifted up both the bright sword and the glittering spear. And there is a multitude of the slain, and a great number of carcasses, and there is none end of their corpses. They stumble upon their corpse because of the multitude of the whoredoms of the well-favored harlot, the mistress of the witchcraft that selleth nations through her whoredoms and families through her witchcraft. Behold, I am against thee, saith the Yahshua of hosts, and I will discover thy skirts upon thy face. And I will show the nations thy nakedness, and the kingdoms thy shame. And I will cast abominable filth upon thee, and make thee vile, and will sit thee as a gazing star. And it shall come to pass that all they that look upon thee shall flee from thee and say, Nineveh is laid waste. Who will bemoan her? Okay. Whence shall I seek comforters for thee? Art thou better than populous Noah that was situated among the rivers that had the waters round about it, whose rampart was the sea and her wall was from the sea? Ethiopia and Egypt were her strength, and it was infinite. Put and Lubin were thy helpers, yet was she carried away. She went into captivity. Her young children also were dashed in pieces at the top of all the streets, and they cast lots for her honorable men, and all her great men were bound in chains. Thou, parentheses, Assyria, also shalt be drunken. Thou shalt be hid. Okay, let's go back and let's read this here again. Let's read this chapter 3 again. I feel like that we're missing something here. It says, woe to the bloody city. It is full of lies and robbery. Now, I'm going to say he's talking about this here, Nineveh, antitypical Nineveh. Let's go ahead. Their prey departeth not, the noise of a whip, and the noise of the riding of the wheels, and of the prancing horses, and of the jumping chariot. The horseman lifteth up both the bright sword and the glittering spear, and there is a multitude of slain, and a great number of carcasses, and there is none end of their corpse. They stumble upon their corpses because of the multitude of the whoredoms of the well-favored harlot. Well, this harlot is Mr. Babylon. This is Hillary Rodham Clinton. She represents this well-favored harlot, the mistress of witchcrafts, and she belongs to the occultic Phoenixburg. We'll read about it. It's a symbol. It's a Luciferian symbol. It represents Satan that selleth nations to her whoredoms. So Hillary Clinton has sold nations. Her husband has been the number one salesman for this. And that's since he got out of office in 2001. Bill Clinton has traveled the world for the last 15 years. And he has signed up nations and got millions and billions of dollars of donations from them. Because they sold him a bill of goods saying that when we become rulers of the world one day, me and my wife, whatever money you donate to us, we're going to keep you in the trade market with us. And you're going to get all your money back plus interest. That's what they promised them, to get all these millions of dollars of donations. So it says, the mistress of the witchcraft that selleth nations through her whoredoms and families through her witchcraft. Okay, behold, I am against thee, saith the Yeshua of hosts, and I will discover thy skirts upon thy face. So who is he against? He's against this mystery Babylon. And I will show the nations thy nakedness, and the kingdoms thy shame. And I will cast a bottle of filth upon thee, and make thee vile, and will sit thee as a gazing star. And it shall come to pass that all they that look upon thee shall flee from thee, and say, Nineveh is laid waste. Who will bemoan her? Okay, so this mystery Babylon is also got a name called Nineveh, the capital of Assyria. When shall I seek comforters for thee? Art thou better than populous Noah? And the Adventist Church is also represented as Nineveh, that was situated among the rivers that had the waters round about it, whose rampart was the sea and her wall was from the sea. Ethiopia and Egypt were her strength, and it was infinite. Okay, so Egypt is where next door to Libya, with the Clintons, Mr. Bellin, with Obama, the Syrian king. They conquered Libya and stole all their oil except the Islamic State, and then funded the Islamic State from the oil they stole from Libya after having overthrown Gaddafi. And Egypt is their main place that they sought to overthrow, was her strength at one time, were her strength, and it was infinite. Put and Lubin were thy helpers. Yet was she carried away, she went into captivity, her young children also were dashed in pieces at the top of the street, and they cast lots for her honorable men, and all her great men were bound in chains. This brings in verse 30, this hour, contact us at the 11th hour call, and that's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. Stand up for Yahshua. Stand up, stand up for Yahshua, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer long. From victory on to victory, this army shall he lead. Till every foe is vanquished, and Yahshua is king indeed. Stand up for Yahshua, the trumpet's call obey. For to the mighty conflict, in this his glorious day, he who amen now serve him against unnumbered foe. Let courage rise with danger, and strength to strength uphold. Stand up for Yahshua, and in his strength alone, the arm of flesh will fail ye. You cannot trust your home. Put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer. Where duty calls or danger, he's never wanting there. Stand up for Yahshua, his strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, the next the victor's song. To him who overcometh, a crown of love shall be. He with the King of glory shall reign eternally.